Kankakee Podcast is proudly presented by Pewter Pros, Stitch Prints, and Digital World Design Family of Businesses, celebrating 25 years of small business ownership in Kankakee County. Learn more at mypewterpros.com, stitchprints.com, and digitalworlddesign.com.
Thankful for the way these stories hold on to the lifetime we won't give back. I know these rivers carry on. People tend to stick to you after time. Places tend to do the same as we do. This river carries on and on.
Welcome to Kankakee Podcast, where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. I'm Jake Lamore, and this is another episode where we have teamed up with the Kankakee Valley Theater Association to talk about their latest production, which is In the Heights, and the show times are coming up Saturday, April 29th, Sunday, April 30th, and then Saturday, May 6th, and Sunday, May 7th at the Lincoln Cultural Center, and we are joined by the director, who is Sharla Ronchetto. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jake.
Great to have you here. And I know I have not seen you in many years. I don't know if you remember me being a student at Bishop Mack.
Yes, I do.
I did not have you as a teacher, though, because I did not take Spanish. And I think that's, you just taught Spanish, right? Or did you teach English or?
I mostly taught Spanish. I did have 3 years where I picked up some English classes as well.
Okay. I couldn't remember. And obviously, we're recording this during the day, so I'm assuming, unless you're on spring break, you're no longer a teacher there.
Correct. I retired about 3 years ago from the classroom. I also ran the theater program for 8 years at McNamara, and last year was my last year doing that.
Let's talk about you just a little bit before we get into like the nuts and bolts of In the Heights. Where does your story begin as far as theater and performance? And
I have always loved theater. I've always wanted to perform and be on stage. In high school, I was in a couple of the theater productions as well. And then I didn't do theater again, actually, until we moved to Kankakee. My family and I moved here in 2000, and probably 2002, 2003, we actually went and saw a KVTA production. I'm pretty sure it was Joseph, and I absolutely love that musical, so we went to see it, and I said, wow, this is actually a pretty good community theater group. I had small kids, so I couldn't do anything at that point. My son really loved theater as well, so when he was 9, he auditioned for one of the YPT shows and got in.
Do you remember which one it was?
Yes, it was Dear Edwina Jr.
I saw
by
that
Pat Ward.
One. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yes, that was his first show. And so I worked backstage, stage manager, run crew, that kind of thing for the kids' shows for a while. My daughter also became interested in theater. She was a little more hesitant. She wanted her big brother with her.
Oh, that's adorable.
And then I auditioned for shows as well. I was on stage for, I believe, 6 shows for KVTA. And the first couple of shows I did, I put it on my audition form, please only cast me if you also cast my kids, because I'm not going to spend every evening away from my kids. So we actually had it as a family affair for a couple of shows.
That's cool. I've heard a lot of families do that, and I think that's so cool. It's so fun, you know.
Right.
It's a great family experience. So they were like, okay, we'll do that. We'll cast the kids, right?
I mean, they could. It's like, you can cast the kids and not cast me. That's fine. But if you cast me, I need my kids, because I'm not going to spend every single evening away from my kids.
Yeah, it's five nights a week,
usually for 6 to 8 weeks. It depends. Depends on the show, how much dancing there is in it, that sort of thing.
It's a big commitment.
It is.
That's for sure.
And actually, that was behind one of our decisions for next year's show. I am on the board for KVTA, and next year's spring show is Seussical. And we chose that show because we have so many families who are involved in KVTA who want to be on stage together. And so it's while it's one of our adult shows, it is going to have kids in it as well. And that way, families can do that as an activity.
Yeah, because like a, I guess you could say a more normal production, adult production may have like a few kids.
Right.
But that's it. There might be 2 to 4 kids. And but right. with Seussical, you'll be able to add more than just a few kids.
Correct.
Into, well, there's probably, I don't know how many are written in that play, but I would imagine quite a few are written into Seussical. So
it, and there's a large ensemble as well.
Right. So then going forward then, is this your first time directing a KVT show?
Yes, or? It is.
Oh, okay. Yes. Awesome. So, I mean, how has that experience been for you so far? Because if I'm not mistaken, I mean, you've obviously been involved with KVTA now since the 2000s, but this is also your first time as a board. Is it your first time as a board member too?
Yes, I was voted onto the board last June. So it is my first year being a board member. And yeah, I mean, I directed shows at McNamara for 8 years. So I have a bunch of shows under my belt. And for this show in particular, another woman had asked me to be her co-director. And I said, sure, that'd be fine. It's a big show. I can have someone with me to kind of get me used to what KVTA is like as far as directing goes. And then unfortunately, her husband got a job and she moved to Florida. And so that left me as the single director. And I was like, you know what? I can do this. I have the support of the board behind me. I also have a fantastic staff that I'm working with. I have a set builder, a set decorator, a props person. Of course, I have my vocal director, Jeannie. I have my choreographer, Trinity, and my right-hand woman is Jordan Ward. She's the assistant director. And it's a much larger scale than the productions that I'm used to, but I have that staff backing me up.
How big is the cast?
We have 27 people in the cast.
Okay, so that's a decent-sized cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was Debbie the one that moved, right? Debbie
yes.
Emling?
Yes.
Oh, she's wonderful. Debbie, if you're listening to this, I'm sure all of KVTA misses you. She's always just a sunshine person. Every
yes.
time I see her, she just looks like she brings the sunshine with her.
And yeah,
I
guess she has a joy about her.
And that makes sense
refreshing.
That now she's in the sunshine state.
Exactly.
When you direct a show, what's your approach? What's your approach to this show?
Well, typically I choose the show or you apply to be the director and they select you. And you start probably a full year ahead of time, at least the thought process of it. For me, with musicals in particular, I start listening to the soundtrack and it drives my husband crazy. He does not like riding in the car with me because if we're in my car, that soundtrack is playing basically for 12 months.
And if you really don't like hip hop, right? I mean, that's what
yes.
the music in this in the Heights is very hip hop oriented, right?
Well, it's a combination. It has there's hip hop, but there's also salsa and merengue, and there are traditional what you'd call like musical songs, the ballad type
the
things,
standards, yeah,
the standards. So it's a lot more of a mix of several genres into it. But yes, it does have a lot of hip hop.
Yeah. So I'm sure that drives them up a wall, right?
Right. Yeah. And I just drive around everywhere I go. I listen to that. My goal is that by the time rehearsals start, I know all the music so that I can, well, you're blocking the songs or you've got dances going along to them. And I need to know where we are at any given point. And I can say, okay, pick it up from this spot or pick it up from that spot. And I also, I dance in my car.
Who doesn't, right?
I know, right? Most people sing. But
if you don't dance or sing or both in your car, you're not human.
Right. I have to always wonder what people think when they're seeing me. So
I love it. I love driving past someone or, you know, maybe they're in front of me at a stoplight and I see them singing and dancing in the car. It makes you feel good.
Right. Well, and at McNamara, I I did everything except for, I had a vocal director, but I did everything else. So I did all the choreography as well. So that's what I mean by I dance in the car. You know, oh, a kick line. You know, if I find myself doing a kick line off and on my gas pedal, then, you know, I know, and I figure out all the moves and what I want to happen or the facial expressions I want so that I have a very concrete idea of what I want the show to look like by the time we actually start rehearsals for it. So that's my starting point.
It's always a great way to start. I mean, you got to be familiar with the music. When were you first introduced to In the Heights? Did you know the show before you had decided to go in on co-directing it and being a part of it?
Yes, I did. My daughter, who's a huge theater buff, introduced me to the soundtrack. For people who don't know, In the Heights is the first major creation coming from Lin-Manuel Miranda. He wrote this before Hamilton. And I was a huge fan of Hamilton. So my daughter said, have you ever listened to In the Heights? And I said, no. And whenever she introduces me to a new musical soundtrack, she'll play it. And then she pauses in between each song and tells me the plot that's happening in between the songs so that I know what's going on. And there are several songs in this soundtrack where I just, you know, you're laughing out loud. It's fantastic. The humor that is in there. And then there's other songs where you're crying. I mean, we had a couple of songs when we staged them. The cast is crying. My assistant director, Jordan, is crying.
Crying with laughter or
no?
Oh, the other type of crying.
Okay. Yes, we do have the crying with laughter part as well, but it just, the show pulls on all of your emotions. But I was introduced to it from my daughter. When KVT originally announced that they were going to be doing the show, of course, it was lined up to be in the 2021 season originally, and that season was canceled due to COVID, and then they stuck it in the next season. And I had toyed with the idea of applying to direct, and I was like, man, that's just way too big of a show, you know, for my first show out there. So it's kind of interesting how I ended up in this position anyways when I had toyed with the idea.
I guess ended up with it. Because when it was supposed to be in the 2021 season, were you set to co-direct?
I was not.
You were not at that point. So you didn't come into the mix till like this last 6 months to a year, maybe?
Yes. In August is when I was asked to co-direct. So I did not have my traditional year advance notice.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But I already knew the soundtrack, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks to your daughter.
Correct.
For that. Yeah.
Correct.
And I know I had never heard of In the Heights until recently. And I think obviously with the success that Lin-Manuel Miranda has had with, I was doing some research on him today. Obviously, I knew he had done Hamilton. I knew he had written a lot of the songs in Moana, but I had no idea he was also behind Encanto as well. Mm-hmm. I had no idea,
right.
But it made sense. I'm like, of course, we don't talk about Bruno. It's his song, and that's why it was such a big, you know, smash hit. And it's cool to see that his first, like, major production is starting to get some light after he's had all the success. People are going back and saying, oh, he also did this. Let's check this out.
And In the Heights, it kind of fell through the cracks for some people. It was the winner of the Tony Award Best Musical in 2008. So it's definitely a successful musical in its own right. But yes, a lot of people didn't become aware of it until they looked back after Hamilton.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, Hamilton was just like the next step up for him. And that did so well. People were just like blown away by his mixture of genres, how he just easily did that. And with the time period too, of course, Hamilton takes place way much further in the past, but In the Heights is more, is that modern day?
Yes.
What's the storyline in In the Heights? I guess we should probably get into that.
In the Heights is a slice of life, I guess you could say. It's 3 days over the 4th of July in summer of 2008. So we are setting it back when it was released, which was 2008. And it is basically, there's not a single plot going on. We have Usnavi, who owns the corner bodega, and he acts somewhat as the narrator of the story, telling some of the stories. He has his abuela, which is his grandmother. She's not his biological grandmother, but she's really the matriarch of the neighborhood. So she acts as everyone's grandmother. That's Abuela Claudia. We also have the Rosario family, mother and father, Kevin and Camila, who came from Puerto Rico when they were 18 or 19 years old. And they are now successful business owners. They have a daughter, Nina, who just completed her first year at Stanford. So they have the financial struggles that go along with trying to put a daughter through a private school, the tuition for that and that sort of thing. We have a salon with Daniela, who is the salon owner, and Carla, who works there. And it just, oh, and I forgot Benny. We can't forget Benny.
Yeah, I can't forget Benny.
Benny works for the Rosarios. He is African-American. The other lead characters are Hispanic. He is African-American, and his struggle is trying to fit in and be accepted because Kevin Rosario keeps saying, well, you're not Latino and you don't speak Spanish. And Benny's like, I've been here. I've been working for 5 years. Why are you not accepting me into this role? And we do have some love interests going on with Benny and the Rosario's daughter, Nina. We also have Vanessa. Vanessa is someone who wants to get out of the barrio. She wants to move downtown. She wants to leave the area. And then we get a bit of a love interest between Vanessa and Usnavi. So you have multiple stories that are all intertwining.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
It is too. A lot. It is
yeah.
a lot.
Does In the Heights kind of touch on the interracial part of a Latino being accepted to marry an African-American or a white person or anything like that? Because I know that's something that neighborhoods or any race kind of struggles with, or maybe some races more than others, you know, being accepting of, okay, it's okay for you to marry a different race, that kind of thing.
It is definitely a struggle for Kevin Rosario, the father. He has been surrogate father to Benny in the neighborhood. Benny was one of the youths that would run wild in the street. But Kevin kind of took Benny under his wing and brought him up. But Kevin has always kind of kept that wall up saying, well, you're not Latino. You're not part of our culture. You'll never be part of our culture. Kevin's wife, Camila, stands up for Benny. And, you know, Benny's part of our family. You have to accept him. He's honorary Latino, is what she says. So there's definitely that conflict that arises there.
And I think that's a really important lesson for all of us to learn from In the Heights, is just being more accepting of where people come from and what they're interested in now.
And Kevin also, I mean, he adores his daughter, Nina. So there, you do have the, well, no one's going to be good enough for Nina.
Yes, it does. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Of course. What's been your favorite part so far about working with the cast of In the Heights? I mean, we're a couple of weeks out at this point from opening weekend.
There's several things about the cast that I love. Their talent blows me away. I mean, I am absolutely floored by the talent that we have on that stage. I have performed on stage, and I am envious of the talent that some of these actors and actresses have. It's absolutely amazing. And they're also very young. It's a young cast. I mean, we have multi-generations. We have Abuela Claudia, and we have a couple of members of our ensemble who are in that age range. We have the parent age range with the Rosarios, and we do have some ensemble members in that. But the bulk of the cast is, I would say, 18 to 26. And their enthusiasm and their youthfulness, it's very exciting to watch. The family bonds that they have made while working on this show. And that's something, because I've read a lot of things that Lin-Manuel has written as well. And he had a book about, it was called Finding Home, and it was about the creation of In the Heights. And he talks about how every time a theater group does In the Heights, the cast ends up turning themselves into a family. And being able to watch that happen is amazing. And of course, my assistant director, Jordan, is right in that same age range. So she kind of acts as the link for me with the younger people. And when they say something, I turn to her and I'm like, what is that?
What is that? Yes.
What did they just say?
Yeah, she's your interpreter.
Yes.
I mean, even myself, I'm only 32 and I feel that way with people that are even 5 years younger than me or right. 6 years, you know, I already feel disconnected and like, okay, what is the cool hip thing? You know, what am I missing here?
Well, and I taught high school for 14 years.
Yeah.
So I was up on all of that stuff.
Oh, true. But now you've been out for three.
Right. I've been out of the classroom for 3 years and everything changes. In 3 years' time, I would go home and I would say phrases, and my husband's like, why are you talking like that? Like,
speaking of 3 years, you got out at quite a time, didn't you?
I did. I retired spring of 2020. So, yes, my last 3 months of teaching were very, very rough. But I did not have that following year, which I think was rougher.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Timing is everything.
Yeah. Not to get off topic. But yeah. So it's really cool to because I was looking through the cast list and maybe two names I recognize out of this whole cast. And that was exciting to see. It's always exciting to see that because I feel like there's this stereotype or stigma attached to KVTA that it's always the same people, yada, yada, yada. But that's really not the case. There's always a turnover.
Absolutely.
You know, it definitely goes through its phases and generations. And so it's just exciting to see that continue.
We have several people in our cast, actually, who've never been on stage before. They were in show choir or they were in their school choir. Or we have a young woman who is in like a dance troupe. But they were never actually in theater. So I think it's been a very exciting experience for them as well to see what goes into it. I know a lot of people, okay, maybe not a lot of people, some people, they think, oh, I'm going to audition for a show. And then what? We rehearse once a week for an hour, 3 weeks. And then it's like, no, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Actually.
And so, you can tell when you go to the shows because everything is so on point, everything is so well put together,
right.
And that takes a lot of practice. It doesn't just happen overnight.
Well, and with a show like this, because I would say that the bulk of the cast was familiar with the soundtrack already when they came, so they could sing all the songs. And the problem is they could all sing the lead on all of the songs. But almost all the songs, I mean, including the solo songs, we have the ensemble backing them up with a counter melody. And the counter melody is always in three or four parts harmony.
That's a lot of harmony.
It is. It's a lot of harmony. Huge shout out to Jeannie Benson, our vocal director. She came on board. She was unfamiliar with In the Heights. So a couple times she said, oh, what have I gotten myself into? And we have several songs where there are three or four different melodies going on at the same time, in addition to a counter melody being sung by the ensemble. So, and you know, law of primacy, what you learn first, you know best. So you have all these people who know the lead, and they have to learn the backup vocals for it instead.
So it's almost like they have to unlearn what they learned.
Right. They have to unlearn and then relearn. And several times for several songs, the backup vocals are in Spanish. And not my whole cast. I have several people in the cast who do speak Spanish, but I also have several people in the cast who do not. So then I had to teach them.
So you were the perfect person for this job.
Right. Well, and if you do not speak another language, sometimes you can't even hear what's going on. For example, one of the lines is, ¿qué pasó? And she would say, ¿qué pasó? I'm like, no, ¿qué pasó? Means something different than ¿qué pasó? And she's like, you're saying the exact same thing. I'm like, no, what? I'm not. But step one is to hear it. You know, like mama
is. What is que paso?
Que paso is that I happen. Okay. It's in the yo form, in I.
Okay, because isn't que pasa like what's up?
Que pasa means what's happening.
What's happening.
So que pasó means what happened.
Okay.
And que paso.
Oh my gosh.
This is a language lesson. It's the yo form of the present tense. So it's I happen or I pass, which you wouldn't necessarily say. But even mama versus mama. So just getting the right stress, the right syllables, the right vocal sounds, you know, making it be mira instead of mira. You know, so, and people don't always hear that. There was some frustration, you know, so I took with one of the songs with Breathe, the background vocals are all in Spanish. And so I actually took the lyrics and I wrote it out like respira. So I did re, spear, ah, but then you got to put it together, respira. So I actually had to write out. Usually I write it out with English words because that's easier for people to figure out how to say that for us to be able to even teach them the music, let alone the notes that they're supposed to be doing.
Well, and also so they understand exactly what they're singing, so they know kind of how to make that delivery. Am I supposed to be mad? Am I supposed to be sad? Am I supposed to be happy? What's the energy that I need to put into whatever it is I'm saying? You know, because otherwise you're just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to make sure I'm pronouncing everything correctly, but then you forget the actual emotion.
Right, which turns it into theater rather than a concert.
Yes, exactly. And even in a concert, you need to be doing that. But even more so in a theater, it's like you need to inject that 200% in there.
Right.
In order to make it believable. In the Heights, just a reminder again of the showtimes. April 29th, 30th, and then May 6th and May 7th. There's 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. shows. You can get those tickets at kvta.org. Sharla, is there anything else about the show that you want people to know?
One of the things that really impresses on me about this show, and KVTA has done a video series for this with several of our cast members, that In the Heights was a history-making musical. It opened up major stage theater roles to Latinos, and it paved the way for Hamilton to be able to come in and turn the world upside down. Producers would not have rallied around Hamilton and been willing to do that if In the Heights hadn't already stuck a wedge in the door and cracked it open. It took Lin-Manuel Miranda a long time to be able to convince producers to do this show because it has the hip hop aspect. It's more modern than a lot of the musicals are, and they didn't know if anyone would go for it. And it was a rousing success, which then let Hamilton come in. And Hamilton has changed the theater world. It has given opportunities to actors of color to be able to be main roles and not always be typecast as the gangbangers or the domestic help or whatever. They could actually be the main characters that we are following. And in order to honor In the Heights' role in that, we did record some of our Latino and actors of color to share with us what the show means to them and what characters they most relate to and why they wanted to be a part of this production. We have that video series running on Facebook right now.
Cool.
And it's absolutely amazing how much it touches people as far as having the representation, the cultural identity, and being able to helping them find where they fit in into their own world. And we've been able to see that in the cast and how people are finding a way to fit in and finding where they belong.
It's always an exciting moment when you see your culture up in lights.
Yes.
I just feel like that's something everyone can relate to, no matter what culture you come from. When you see something, like for me, I have a lot of French Canadian in my blood. So when I see something French or I see something related to that culture, I get excited about it, right? And I'd imagine it's the same for anyone else with their culture and everything. So to see something major like In the Heights, focusing on the Latino community, more or less, right, mainly, that's a big moment for that community.
And I do have a funny story. We were working on the song Carnaval. And Carnaval del Barrio is when they're hot and they're sitting around and everyone's bored. And Daniela, the salon lady, comes out and says, let's have a carnaval. And so we were working on the dancing for that. And some of our Latino cast members were like, no, you have to get a lot closer. You have to get closer to each other. We don't have personal bubbles. When you're dancing, you have to get closer.
That's true. That's
and
true.
One of the young women in our cast said, and it was just so profound for me, she said, dancing it comes from our heart. And it's a language of love for us is the dancing that we do. And I was like, oh, that's just so, it's just so sweet. And watching the interaction, it was just fantastic.
That must have been a special moment. So you were talking about, you know, that video series, which I encourage everyone to go check out on the Kankakee Valley Theater Association's Facebook. Who do you relate to most in this show? What character? What does the show mean to you? You're talking about how the cast members are sharing what the show means to them. And
I would have to say I relate to Usnavi the most. Usnavi is first generation. His parents came from the Dominican Republic. He was born in New York. And he's also the character, or one of the characters, that Lin-Manuel Miranda relates to the most also, in that he doesn't feel at home. He feels like in New York, he doesn't totally fit in. And then if he goes to the Dominican Republic, he thinks, will I fit in when I go there? And Lin-Manuel Miranda he's Puerto Rican, but he talked about how he would go spend summers in Puerto Rico. And when he was there, he didn't fit in either because the Puerto Rican children said, well, you're American and you don't fit in. And then when he was in New York, he went to magnet schools for creative arts and he was Puerto Rican, and they said, you don't fit in here. And so he spent his whole life trying to find where his home was and where he fit in. And I moved around a lot as a child, and I was always the new kid. I went to 5 different elementary schools growing up. Southern California, Oregon, San Francisco, in the mountains of California.
Were your parents in the military?
No, they just like to move.
They just like to really test your mental health.
Right. I mean, we only stayed every place when I was younger. We only stayed every place for a year or two. And I never felt like I fit in or made connections.
You know, I never really thought about that either for that first born generation in America, because Americans maybe necessarily aren't accepting them, but then their own culture from where they're from isn't accepting them because they weren't necessarily from that original country.
Right. You know,
they weren't born there. They weren't born in Mexico, or they weren't born in Germany, or wherever it was. So yeah, that has to be a hard firstborn children to kind of find that foothold.
Well, and the generations to come, because also, you know, back, I grew up in the 80s, and back in the 80s, we did the Great American Melting Pot, where you're supposed to come here and you're supposed to blend in and be indistinguishable from everybody else. So a lot of the Latino immigrants at that time, when they came here, they tried to hide the fact that they were Hispanic and they didn't speak Spanish in the home and the language was lost and the culture was lost. And then you have the children of those children, so your second generation, who are Hispanic, but they're not accepted by the Latino community because they don't speak Spanish and they don't know the tradition and they don't know the culture. And they're trying to find their place also because they are rejected from every side. So in the Heights, it's a very heartwarming musical about acceptance and about finding your home, about making your home, about realizing where your home is and then embracing it.
I love that. Well, I can't wait to see it, you know, just hearing everything about it and how hardworking the cast has been. And of course, every KVTA production, the cast just works their butt off. And everyone behind the scenes too, the crews, and obviously the director, the vocal director, assistant director, choreographer, everyone involved with the show is just working their butts off.
Just come see it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if, I don't want anyone turned off by the fact that we have the hip hop or whatever. I mean, it's a huge blend of hip hop, pop, jazz, salsa, merengue. It just, the music is fabulous. The dancing is fantastic. It's a really good time.
I think what's cool about, you know, like what Lynn would do a lot of times, or almost every production I feel like he does, with the mixing of the genres, it kind of keeps you, if you're a person that easily gets bored of one thing, you're easily going to be kept on your feet,
because yes.
sometimes those changes, you just never know when it's going to happen. And all right. of a sudden, there it is. You've got like this musical standard number going. And then all of a sudden, there's like a, it changes to like a hip hop beat. And then right. it goes more like pop. And then, yeah, it just,
well,
it's
and
cool.
all on top of themselves. I mean, the number 96,000, it actually has all of the those different musical styles, and then the leads all sing all the styles at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
And it fits. I'm like, how can all those styles be layered on top of each other and sound so good as a unit? And of course, the ensemble in the background doing something totally different. So
yes,
the music is fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
All right. Well, Sharla, this has been an honor to catch up with you and you know, have a conversation with you about In the Heights, kvta.org to get those tickets. And anything else related to KVTA, it's all there on their website. You can also follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And those are also great places to keep up to date. So thank you again, Sharla.
All right. Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore. Thank you so much for listening. We are proudly presented by Pewter Pros, Stitch Prints, and Digital World Design family of businesses, celebrating 25 years of small business ownership in Kankakee County. You can learn more at mypewterpros.com, stitchprints.com, and digitalworlddesign.com. Also, a special thank you to our patrons for helping make this episode possible, including Don Geisinger, Diana Crowley, Joseph Lamont, Bill Parakis, Lori Crayoach, Karen Bishop, SLS Home Inspections, Seth and Mary Berkey, Jake Lee, Jesse Arsenault, Dave Barron, Veronica Featherston, John Sullivan, Sue Hornung, Samantha Rocknowski, Lake Iverson, Travis Garcia, Jane Bostwick, Dawn Harrison, Simon Topless, Scott Wright, Carrie O'Connell, Jamie Race, Joanne Berry, Anthony Vicelli, Eric Olson, Nolan Bukowski, Natalie Flagel, Carl Erps, Jeff and Rosa Carroll, Teague Dreenan, Sandy and Steve Twait, and Rose Lucky. To become a podcast patron, go to kankakeepodcast.com and then click on the patron tab. If you pledge $5 or more per month, you'll also hear your name announced on an episode of the podcast. There is also access to extended versions of episodes, video versions, and more. And our theme song, written and performed by Lupe Carroll, recorded by Daniel Bishop. This river carries